My name is Elliot Margioli.
This is Dr. Aaron Judkins.
This is Trey Smith.
This is Ryan Peterson.
This is Dr. Judd Burton.
This is Timothy Albrino.
This is Derek Gilbert, and you're listening to The Dig Bible Podcast.
Glad you made it. Come along for the ride as we search for hidden truth, explore historical context, and dig into God's Word to help us understand the past, present, and future of this supernatural world. This is Steve, along with Justin and Ben, and you are listening to the Dig Bible Podcast.
What's happening and what's up, all my local guys and gals and long-distance pals? We're back. You liked that, didn't you?
You were switching it up a bit.
A little deal. I was like, what?
He's switching it up.
People that listen to both shows can be like, I thought I clicked on the Dig. This is Prometheus. Oh, well, never mind. There it is.
No, it's, hold on, Prometheus digging for mustard seeds.
There you go.
Remember that?
Yeah.
Remember that?
Yeah, it's a twist on the Jason and the Argonauts, where he takes the fiery oxen and plants the serpent's teeth that brings up giants that he has to fight.
See, that sounds counterproductive to me.
Yeah, well, that was the point. The king Aeetes, or whatever his name is, didn't want Jason to have the golden fleece, so he'd give him like this impossible task. If he could chain these two big bulls that were huge and breathed fire and get them to plow the field, he would plant serpent's teeth, and the serpent's teeth would grow giants, an army of giants. And if he could do all that and kill all the giants, that he would just give him the fleece.
Doesn't really seem worth it.
Was he successful?
Yes. But he's
a pretty tough fella.
Yeah, but he basically made a deal with the devil and Medea, the witch, give him an enchantment that made him invincible.
Invincible.
He lost in the long run, is what you're saying?
Pretty much, because Medea ends up
Tyler Perry to escape. Oh.
Kidnaps her brother, chops him into 100 pieces, and throws him out over the boat while her father, the king, is trying to pursue. So the dad has to keep stopping and picking up all these body parts, so they end up getting away. And then, of course, Medea's a witch, so long story short, he ends up falling in love with another girl when they get back home, the side chick, and Medea kills their two children and runs off.
Never trust a witch.
Exactly.
Moral of the story.
How'd we get here?
I don't know.
No idea.
That was quick. You know, we started an hour and a half ago saying we were going to record, and we just started. So,
well, this is our guys' night. You know, we get to hang out and have some cigars, catch up.
I needed it big time today, boys.
It's been a week for me too, my friend.
I was mad. For what reason? Beats me.
It hits us sometimes.
Just ornery.
Oh, yeah. I could probably ripped everybody's throats out, everybody I passed on the road on the way home.
So you were pissed off, huh?
I don't know why.
Like the old saying.
I had a great day at work. I don't have a clue why. Just everybody was pissing me off.
Yeah, because not everybody's Southerners, so they're not, you know, prone to our little phrases.
Not anymore.
It's better to be pissed off
than pissed on.
There you go.
Yeah. Oh, would you rather be pissed?
No, that's gross.
I mean, you getting pissy.
The northerner here.
Well, anyway, I did want to bring something up before we dive in too deep.
It's kind of sad.
And just so we preface, okay, I come in usually after these guys, so they've been here a little bit longer than me. And they're like, oh, should we tell Justin?
Yeah, no. Justin's in
the... We're going to wait till we get started. So it's like I've been prying at these guys for the past like hour while we've been just chilling out. And they're like, no, we're going to hit you with it live. So I'm like,
we're gonna get being Justin's out of the know. Live well, reaction.
That's what happens when you work 410s, buddy. Yeah,
this better be good. All this build up and suspense.
It isn't. The problem is
you better not be snoring within the next 10 minutes.
It isn't good.
It's and not good.
And that's the problem. So if you think about the culture and the way the world's moving right now, if you think about the way that, we can talk about New York, we can talk about California, we can talk about the major urban areas where a lot of the culture is really changing in our country. I've seen a couple things recently. The I even had, and I posted on the Dig thing where there was a Catholic priest saying that if you weren't Catholic, you're going to hell. Like a whole spiel about why the Eucharist is the only thing that matters. And it's just, it's disturbing because we're really pushing towards the doctrines of men and we're altering what our beliefs are. We're altering what our beliefs are based on our culture rather than on biblical standpoints.
Yeah.
So I got a call earlier today when I'm on my way home from a good friend of ours, Sean, and said, did you see what happened in our local newspaper? And in our local newspaper, there was an article written. And the article written says, Pride Month. Because love thy neighbor doesn't apply to everyone. And I started reading through this article after Sean sent it to me. And the point of this article, and I think you'll get it fairly quickly, but I'm going to read a couple little snippets out of this if that's all right. It says, at first glance, Pride Month might seem at odds with certain interpretations of Christian doctrine. Traditional beliefs about sexuality and gender roles may lead some to view the LGBTQ plus movement with skepticism or apprehension. However, a closer examination reveals that the principles underlying Pride Month align closely with the teachings of Jesus Christ.
Bullshit. I'll just say it.
Now, the crazy part about this is, let me read a couple little other parts. It says, as
that
we
blows my mind.
No, listen.
This is Tennessee.
You would think out of all places, you know, we're in the Bible Belt, that we would not assimilate things. And this is a lot of it. Let me read a little bit more. As we contemplate our response to Pride Month, it's essential to remember that love is the hallmark of Christian discipleship. Love challenges us to look beyond our preconceived notions and biases, to see individuals as a beloved child of God, deserving of dignity and respect. It compels us to stand in solidarity with those who have been marginalized or oppressed, advocating for their rights and affirming their inherent worth.
You can love somebody and tell them they're wrong or not accept their stance on something. That they are trying to take a straw man approach and just say, oh, well, God is love, then you're supposed to love this person. Case closed. No, that ain't how it works.
So Jesus said, right, when they asked him, he said, why do you sit with sinners? He says, it's not the healthy, you know, it's the sick that need a doctor. That's why he was with. He ate and dined with sinners, yet he did not follow into their sins. When the prostitute was about to be stoned and they brought him before Jesus, and Jesus, you know, he says, let he who's without the first stone, or he's without the first sin, throw the first stone. He says, when she finally, when he gets done and everybody leaves after he kind of convicts everybody, he says, go and sin no more.
Yeah, repent. Yeah.
The whole point is not that Jesus sat there and accepted every, he did love, he loves everyone. He died for every single one of us. He did not die so that we could accept sin. He died so that you had a chance to repent from whatever sin is in your life. And there's no, every one of us is sinful. Every single one of us is sinful. But that does not mean that Jesus accepted sin. I love every single person on this planet. I don't always like them. But I love every person on this planet because I'm no more worthy of salvation than they are. The difference is I repented for my sins. I repent daily for my sins because I know I screw up. And my goal is to try to live a life that pleases God. If we continue to live in sin, what we're doing is we're pushing the Holy Spirit out. We're pushing him away from us. Jesus did not come
He didn't come so we can just continue to sin.
No.
He come to give us a way out because obviously we're all sinners. But it's not to say, oh, I'm a Christian. I'm saved.
Do as thou wilt.
So I'm going to go over here and just keep living my life.
And how that writer said the biblical premise, it shows me that this person's probably not even read their Bible, because the biblical premise, without fail, it's the standard, is Jesus loves all.
100%.
But every single one, he tells them to repent of their ways. What is it? The old story we learned as kids in Sunday school, Zacchaeus climbed up the tree. Mm-hmm. He said, come down. I'm going to dine with you in your house today. He was an evil man, a tax collector, and a cheat, and a wicked dude. But he loved him and went and dined with him. But what did he tell him at the dinner? Sell your possessions and give it to the poor, because you've unrighteously obtained this wealth, and repent. And he did. Nicodemus, pretty much the same situation. He tells him, repent, yeah, to walk away and follow him. He chose not to. In every instance, Jesus loved all those people. He loved them enough to tell them that they were wrong. And it was their choice whether they repented or not. So therefore, that's a straw man approach that person that wrote that article. Yes, Jesus is love. And he loves you enough to tell you when you're in the wrong. He doesn't say all is good.
It don't matter
what you do. Keep doing what you do. I love you and you're forgiven. Yeah, you can still keep doing what you're doing and he loves you. You can love somebody but not accept
their and lifestyle.
Approve of what they're doing.
Right. It's just like your children. I could not imagine my boys be like, well, you made this decision, you're out. Tough luck. Hope you find another dad to love you. I still love them. I don't approve of it, obviously this is hypothetical because they're kids, but I might not approve of what they're doing.
Exactly.
And then if they're sinning and I do not try to correct them, I'm not loving them. Correction is a form of love to guide the person or child in a certain path to better their life.
Look at Exodus.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, how many times did God have to come back and correct the Israelites?
Judges. How many times? We're doing a Bible study on Judges.
Judges the same way. Actually, pretty much the whole Old Testament
is
that way. Israel falls away. God lets them. He basically takes his presence away from them, and they fall into enemy hands. And it takes them repenting for God to take them back, to raise up someone that will take them out of that, just like Egypt, to take them out of that bondage, to take them out of that that terrible situation they're in. The punishment,
per se.
But it is. It's a discipline. That God still loves every one of us. God does not condone everything we do. Whether or not you want to believe it, you can't. This is the part where we've seen this personally.
There's no participation trophies for heaven. That's the problem with this culture.
This is the part where I'm going, and more so in our area, in here, when we talk about Tennessee or the Bible Belt in general, is you can't pick and choose your scripture. We see people do that all the time. They take a verse and they take it out of context and use it to their advantage. We've had people very close to us that did that a lot. And they would take it and they would manipulate a scripture into what they want to have that mean.
Do that with anything.
This is a very scary thing, though,
right?
Because you're taking something out of context. We talk about how context is king all the time. When we take these things out of context, we are just straight up destroying what the biblical principle is, because there is so much that God wants us to know by reading that Bible. There's so much truth there. And if you sit there and say, I'm going to listen to this part, This makes so much sense. Think about Jeff. We talked about Thomas Jefferson, Jefferson's Bible. He took, Jesus is a good guy, but he took the supernatural out. We have, other things. We talked about Martin Luther. He didn't like the supernatural side of the Bible either. There's certain things where the doctrines of men have gotten away. I told you about that Catholic preacher, and I'm not saying all Catholics believe that way, but that one Catholic preacher was saying, if you don't partake of the Eucharist, that's what it means to have Christ in you. It's not the Holy Spirit. It was the Eucharist, that you take his body and blood at communion. That's what means to have Jesus inside of you. And if you don't have that, you're going to hell.
Jesus is a cracker and juice. I can get that at the convenience store. Everybody's good then.
This is the hard part. That's a whole nother story for a whole nother time, because we could go down a rabbit trail that fires me up more than I like to admit. But we have to sit there and think about this right now. Is everybody needs to stop trying to use certain things to rationalize what they believe. Go back to the Bible and match up what you're doing in your life to what the Bible says you should do. Match up. Go through what Jesus did. Go through what Paul talked about. Go through what Peter did. Look at those things. Tell me what in your life lines up with them, and then tell me what doesn't. And I'll tell you what's right and what's wrong, because the Bible says so.
Well, the problem is people want to speak on things like they're an expert or to back up a claim, and they're ignorant to the thing they're using. If you're going to speak on something, you should be studied on it and lay all the cards on the table. That article, I consider that a card stack. You're not telling a lie, you're telling a truth. But you are leaving out all kinds of details that totally smother that truth that you had out.
A half truth.
Because yes, you could say, "Well, God is love and loves all." So therefore, the LGBTQ, and they've added a plus to it now, I guess.
The alphabet.
Yeah, they're all good in the eyes of God according to your Bible. Well, then, okay, then if you're being fair and you're writing a report in a newspaper, then let's lay out some of the other stuff that you're neglecting to mention. That Sodom and Gomorrah was wiped off the planet for that very same sin. What about all the commandments that men should not dress in women's clothing and women not dress in men's clothing? How about the commandments about not lying with a man lying with another man, or a woman with another woman? Or how about the part where it says that things like that is an abomination? Don't just throw out, don't take a card deck of 52 cards and the one that you like, lay on the table and throw the other 51 in the trash can behind you. No, lay them all out on the table if you're going to be fair. And that's what's really frustrating to me, is you are supposed to be a news organization. You are presenting the news.
The truth.
It's supposed to be the truth. And I could be wrong, but, this is the Bible Belt. Yeah. We live in a very smaller town. I will be very surprised if this person has their job next week.
It was not it's not a job. It was a,
it's like someone wrote an article.
Or in the very least, a printed retraction next week.
It was a volunteer, a guest columnist is what it says.
But the thing is, they, all things aside.
And they should have known better.
What we're talking about, they still posted it in the paper.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. The editor should have known. That wasn't going to fly in this area.
I mean, I don't pay for the newspaper. But I get their emails. I get their. I followed them on YouTube. I followed them places like that, which I don't have Facebook no more. But I did when I had Facebook. Unsubscribe from all of it.
You think they would learn from Bud Light?
All of it. Yeah. No. I'm not even entertaining the. And that's just me. I'm not entertaining even the thought
Well, you vote.
It's my choice
with your dollar and your attention.
That's right.
When someone or some entity, company does something that you do not agree with,
it's your choice.
You stop buying it
or
stop watching, because you can be like, I don't agree with this or that, but I love this and that they do, so I'm going to keep watching. Well, then you're saying the thing that you do not like about them, you're condoning it because you're voting with your watch time and your purchases. So this is the same reason, which I was never a huge football fan, but I liked football. I liked to watch it. Ever since the whole kneeling during the anthem, I turned it off, and I've not watched a football game, an NFL game, ever since.
I haven't even started watching. I've quit watching college games, too.
To be fair, and I, once again, you got to throw this out there, and you have to look at that on a segmental view on that kind of stuff, because the people that were doing that, there was a stand, and it's that same thing what happened with the elections and stuff in the last couple elections. The silent majority ruled out on those things because that person's never played football again. Never, I mean, never.
No. Yeah,
and so you see these things fall out. There's multiple coaches, and Mike Tomlin. I saw a quote, and once again, you see things on Facebook and things of this nature. I don't know how true everything is, but Mike Tomlin said, you know, if you don't, I mean, I can't. I'm paraphrasing, but if you kneel, you don't play. I mean, you're done. That's it. And Mike Tomlin for the Steelers, he's the head coach of the Steelers. Love that guy. Respect the heck out of that guy. He's been one of the most stoic dudes you could ever watch on a game. No emotion at all. But I just respect the heck out of him. He's been an amazing football coach, amazing guy. But when you step up for what you believe and you step up, actually the coach for the, I saw it. The coach for, I think it's the Celtics. The NBA finals is going on right now. They're like, oh, the royal family came to the game tonight. What do you think about that? He goes, Jesus, Mary and Joseph were there tonight. And I'm like, dude, that's, I was like, awesome. I don't like the NBA, but dude, I can get behind you. That's awesome.
I seen somewhere today, I can't remember, it might have been like a YouTube thing or something. I can't remember, which I shouldn't be watching YouTube as much as I do anyways, but
we're on YouTube.
Yeah. Well,
while we're on the subject, hit that like button, that subscribe button. We'd greatly appreciate it.
Ding. Hit that bell. But I don't know what team or whatever, but there was a coach that told his team to not entertain, not go to the, don't be involved, I guess would be the proper word, in the whole,
stay out of politics and alphabet, play the game.
Alphabet salad stuff. Mm-hmm. You know, and it's, I mean, it's getting more and more. It's like, I watch movies for the movie. I don't want to see trash in the movies, right? I watch it for a good story plot. You know, I'm not in it to get your woke agenda. And the same as, which I've never watched the Grammys or nothing like that, but I don't want to hear it. I'm not watching basketball to hear your political view. I'm watching to watch a basketball game or a football game or a baseball game.
I want that stuff. I watch The View.
Yeah. Yeah.
Boom.
Blech.
But so this is what it breaks down to ultimately. I mean, to me, this is where I think this boils down to as a whole is, when you hear somebody say, oh, you know, how do you identify or whatever? Well, I'm a man, I'm a woman, I'm a cat, I'm a dresser.
I'm a stud.
You're a stud. I know.
My pronouns are handsome.
Super handsome.
Or if you identify based on your sexuality, if you're a lesbian, whatever it is, homosexual, whatever you want to say, if you're pan, trans, whatever, I don't care. But when you sit there and you say, this is my identity, this is who I am, you're making that your defining characteristic. That is who you are. If you sit there and anything other than Jesus anything other than God is your identity, then you're missing the point. You do not identify by your sexuality. You do not identify by a man, woman, child, whatever you are. That's not how you identify. I identify as a follower of the way. That's how we should identify, is either we're with Jesus, because if you're not, and if you don't identify as a follower of Jesus, then you're identifying as a follower of Satan, a follower of the other side.
There's no in between.
There's no in between. Yeah. Jesus even said the road, the path is narrow.
Right.
So when we get there, when we get to the end, all this blurry gray area is not as gray as you think it is.
It's black.
It's black.
The gray area, you look at it like this. This is how I look at it, right? So you have the world, man's law, per se.
And Ben's doing air quotes right now.
Air quotes, man's law.
Man's law.
Those are not bunny ears.
No, not bunny. I don't do bunny ears. And then you have God's law, right? So if you're not up to God's standard, you're out. There's no other standard than God's standard. So, which obviously we all fall short. We know this, right? So it's to the point of, I don't care what Bobby Joe, Betty Lou, whoever else thinks about what I say or what I do. I might be a complete dork in their view. As long as I'm doing or stupid, oh, you follow Jesus, you're a dummy. Well, I might be. But when we're sitting there in front of God, who's the dummy?
Well, ultimately,
it doesn't matter. The whole world's view of everything is nothing but dirt in a hole. That's all it is.
Yeah, and Occam's Razor, Occam's Razor says that the simple answer or the simple solution 90% of the time is the answer and or solution.
That's right.
And I think it's so simple that little bitty boy back in the 90s had it all figured out. And he looked at Arnold Schwarzenegger dead in the eyes and he said, a boy's got a penis and a girl's got a vagina.
That's it.
Case closed.
And what are we supposed to do?
Procreate
and multiply and fill the earth.
No, I think it's copulate. I think is the right word.
That's what,
Justin.
That's what I was trying to get him.
Oh, you was trying to spark it, wasn't you?
Yeah. Copulate or whatever it is. Whatever it is you did that.
Copulation, baby.
So yeah, I don't think two sticks.
And that was the first commandment.
Right? Yeah. Two sticks don't go well together, and
it's Adam and Eve, not
two holes
Adam
don't
and
go
Steve.
Well together. Just saying.
Yeah, edit that out.
Just saying. No, leave it in
there.
That's
dirty.
Leave it in there. The ones who don't know won't know.
It's
the
true
ones
story.
That do know will get what I'm saying. So leave it in there.
Ultimately, in the end, the whole point of this is don't take your words from a person. Don't take your beliefs from a person. Don't take, if this guy said, well, guess what I heard? This is what I believe now because so-and-so said it on social media.
Yeah, some guy who freaking whoever.
Who knows?
We're not going to give names out so they don't
go
freaking.
To
the Bible.
The Bible. Go to the Word.
Boom.
Go to Jesus. Go to God. Find truth in your Bible. Without your Bible, if your Bible's sitting on a shelf and it's dusty, that's a problem. Get it out. Start reading it. God will talk to you through that Bible. God will talk to you through that Word, but you need to sit down and read it. Jesus does love everybody. He loves every single one of you out there. Every single one of you, he wants you to be in heaven with him.
Yep.
But you have to make that decision to meet him halfway.
And he died for you.
He died
that's
for
the
you.
Thing.
That's,
you choose he, to go out and stand
died.
On the train tracks yep. and get hit head on by a train. He still loves you, but you're still going to die.
Yeah. I mean,
It is what it is.
He died for every sin that has ever been committed or ever will be. So obviously that's love. But it's not like I'm going to die for you, so you just do whatever you want to do. That's not how it rolls.
That's a true story.
Boom.
Well, I hope you guys enjoyed our little. I think we're going to turn this.
Hope you're still with us.
We're going to turn this into a full episode because
I was going to say
been a bit. But I think
this needs to be like a short or something.
Well, it's
just like a throw out there.
But it's such important information. We have to always remember. Listen, I love every single person. We all do. We don't agree with what everybody does. I don't agree with everything that people I know, good friends of mine. I don't agree with everything they do. But you know what? Everybody makes their choices. And in the end, I'm not standing in front of God for you. You're standing in front of God for you. You're standing in front of the white throne of judgment for you.
I only have to answer for myself.
And I'm scared enough about that because it says that my sins, you know, after I ask for forgiveness are as far away from the east as from the west, they're at the bottom of the deepest sea. But it's still, you know, I remember those things. I know the hurt I've caused in the past. And I know that Jesus has forgiven me. I know that God's forgiven me. But everybody out there, if you don't know that, if you don't have that relationship, if you haven't dug into your Bible, it's time.
It's definitely time because
time's getting short.
It sure is looking that way.
Well, everybody who's made it through this one with us,
keep digging.
Thanks for listening to the Dig Bible Podcast, the place where you can't lean on a shovel and pray for a hole. You gotta dig. Be sure to check us out on YouTube, Instagram, Facebook. Be sure to like, comment, share, and subscribe. Keep digging.
Hey guys, this is Steve from the Dig Bible Podcast. I really hope you guys are enjoying the content, but also the sound quality. It's drastically improved since I handed that duty over to the handcrafted audio. If you've enjoyed the quality of the show and have any audio or editing needs, reach out to Jason at thehandcraftedaudio@gmail.com. And as always, keep digging.